Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host, and in this podcast, we take a look at the crazy world around us through the lens of Scripture, that is to say, a biblical worldview, a Christian worldview. And today, we're going to take up the topic, the subject, the very, very sensitive subject matter of transgender violence, the transgender shooters, the transgender roughing up of people like, say, Riley Gaines. Even within the gay and lesbian community, there is a tendency, of even a fear at times, of the transgender community because of their militancy. When you look at some of the last mass shootings, they were transgendered people. It's peculiar, too, or worrying, that their attacks are most often on Christians or Christian schools. This last attack on the Annunciation School in Minnesota. You can't help but notice that even on the shell casings from the Charlie Kirk murder, there were transgender markings or slogans on there as well. So what's up with all this? There are a couple of things up. Number one, there is the exploitation of mentally ill people who suffer from what used to be called gender dysphoria, and now they're told that's normal. And because of affirming care, psychiatrists and psychologists are forbidden from broaching the topic that this might be a passing thing or this might be a mistake. Along such lines, within the public school system and the larger educational establishment, there is the philosophy that if you do anything out of the ordinary, it must be because you are transgendered. This gets as ludicrous as interest in things like the arts. There's the peer pressure aspect or the social media aspect, where young girls, you'll have three or four girls in a junior high class come out as transgender all at once, which is statistically impossible. The second aspect is ideological, not psychological so much, in that we are in a culture where we are told that words don't have meaning, that there is no such thing as objective truth, and however you feel is who you are. Add to that some of the self-centered or self-focused or self-absorbed philosophies of the past, the recent past, that you can be anybody you want to be and that you are entitled to be that person. But the reality is you cannot be whoever you want to be and you are not entitled to anything. God made you who you are and how you are, and you don't get to change that. Another facet of all this is the exploitation of autistic children who tend to get OCD over things, and there is a disproportionate number of transgendered children who are autistic. Complicating things still further is the push for gender-affirming surgery, or really what is gender reassignment surgery, or if you want to call it this, the mutilation of those created in the image and likeness of God, whether they recognize that God or not. Yet another level surfaces when somebody takes puberty blockers and goes through top surgery or bottom surgery or whatever kind of surgery these malpracticing physicians and these abusive parents allow. And at the end of it, they're miserable because nothing has really changed. The problems are portable, and it doesn't matter what color you are or whether you're male or female. If you have problems, changing your clothes or changing your dress or changing your body isn't going to change what's going on in your head and in your heart. We used to hear things like, would you rather have a dead daughter or a trans son, or some nonsense like that. We were told if we didn't affirm their gender transition, we were sentencing them to death by suicide or alcohol or drugs or overdose. Of course, the reality is that more people commit suicide after transitioning than before. Transgender ideologues say this is the result of people persecuting them after their transition, but if their transition solved the problem, they would look like whatever gender has been reassigned. The problem is much more complex than gender ideologues ascribe or assign. For example, was the child or adult bipolar or manic depressive, as they used to say, before the surgery? Remember, no one's allowed to ask these questions under the existing protocols. If somebody self-diagnoses that they're transgender, you must affirm that. Now, imagine this. You're a medical doctor, and someone comes in and says, I think I have a tumor in my elbow. Why do you think that? Well, I just feel like I do. Well, are you in pain there? No, but I just feel like I do. Okay. We'll cut your elbow open and see what we find. Because we're not allowed to run tests to see in advance, so we have to commit to the surgery because you self-diagnosed. That's the way gender-affirming care works today. The patient self-diagnoses, the tests pretty much go out the window, and as long as your insurance will cover it, there are doctors who will do the surgery and maim and disfigure your body and put you on all kinds of hormones like testosterone. This sort of tilts us a little bit toward the discussion of transgender violence to those that disagree with them. When we take a young man and create an expectation that everything's going to be okay, he can become a woman, and everybody's going to, by law, is going to have to treat him accordingly, and when things don't go right, and he's a biological male, biological males are prone to violence. When their world comes crashing down, they're going to lash out. That's the way men are. They are different than women. And until recently, men were the warriors. They were the soldiers. That's the way God has designed them. Or if you're an atheist, nature has evolved them. And what about a transgender girl, a biological woman who's hopped up on steroids, and their world comes crashing down, and all the promises that were made don't come true, and somebody fails to recognize their sex or holds a different opinion or worldview? All those steroids, all those male hormones, they're going to be prone to action, and as we're seeing, violence. Now, couple this with all these psychoactive medications for depression or bipolar or schizophrenia, and what do you think's going to happen? You've programmed them for something dark. So we've created somebody who is unhappy, who is angry, who is frustrated that the world can't be redefined according to their will, no matter how much the media or the culture says so. At least half of the people aren't buying what they've been sold. And so they lash out at these people who hold a different worldview, be they Muslims, be they Christians, be they Orthodox Jews, whatever, whoever they are that hold a different opinion. Some are just secular humanists who don't buy into the transgender madness. The truth is, you can't be whoever you want to be. You have been made with certain limitations, structural or otherwise. I would like to have more hair, but I can't have more hair. I would like to be a half inch taller, but I can't be a half inch taller. Now, our culture complicates things because if you want to be an Olympic athlete and get gold medals, but you're a guy and you aren't that great, you're not quite in the elite class, you can compete against women. You can declare yourself a man. You can not have any surgery, not take any puberty blockers or any estrogen or do anything like that. You can just show up and compete in a race. And guess what? You will, more often than not, blow away your competition. Why? Because the fastest woman in the world today is slower than the best male high school runners in the world today. Think about that. The elite of the elite of the women are slower than high school athletes. Why? Because they're built differently, different musculature, different skeletal structures, different heart and lung capacities. And increasingly, the culture is recognizing that, and people are pushing back against these types of abuses. And what does that do? It makes people more frustrated, it makes people more angry, and if they're mentally unstable, it makes them more violent. And what do mentally unstable, violent people do? They do violence because they're mentally ill. The oddity is, the irony is that Europe has recognized this, and the United States hasn't. And so in England and in Sweden, places that pioneered these surgeries, they've stopped doing them altogether because longitudinal studies show that this makes things worse, not better. Further making things complicated and complex is the fact that these transitioned males and females cannot enjoy sexual pleasure, and a lot of them did not realize life would be this way, and now they are even more conflicted and distressed. Common sense should tell someone to warn them that if you harvest muscle tissue out of a forearm, it's not going to function like a male sex organ. And the construction of an artificial vagina grows shut because the body treats it as a wound. So because these impressionable people, whether they are mentally ill or too young to really make good judgments, find themselves miserable, they often take their own lives. But as we've seen since Columbine, this Columbine shootings, people who used to kill themselves quietly now want to go out bringing attention to themselves, and you see an increasing number of acts of violence, mass shootings, particularly in the transgendered world. It's sad, really, because the academic world has programmed these people, and the progressive world utilizes these people as what Stalin and Lenin used to call useful idiots to do their bidding, to do the dirty work, the violent work that they themselves would not do, that they themselves would say outwardly they condemn, but they inwardly tend to support, judging by their social media commentary. So you have these poor, disaffected people whose lives have been ruined. They've been misled by the culture, they've been maimed by the medical profession, and now they're miserable and unhappy. And they're angry. They become anti-establishment. Statistics indicate that a significant portion of the so-called Antifa movement is something called Transtifa, because they want to lash out at the world. They want to burn it all down. And so you have these anarchists, these progressive, radical, left-wing foot soldiers who receive their marching orders from academia and the media culture, who label people like Donald Trump or whoever else they don't like, Charlie Kirk, other people as Nazis, as haters, as existential threats, whose opinions don't matter, whose lives don't matter, and as a result, they believe they're doing society a favor by ridding society of such people whose opinions are not even worthy of consideration, such people who are not even worthy of life. So what do we do about all this? What can a Christian do? Let's look to the Bible to understand just what is going on here. Is this something new? No, it's not. It's part of a larger problem that began in the Garden of Eden with man's rebellion against God and the fall, and man's subsequent pursuit of his own God and his own existence and creating his own reality, despite the fact that he lives in God's universe, he lives in God's reality, and there's only one reality, and that is the biblical reality. We see this in Romans 1:18 to 32. Let me just work you through that passage quickly. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Sound familiar? Suppressing the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes are revealed. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. People are without excuse. They look at the world around them and they see that God is through what is made and the order and beauty of the creation. His handprints are everywhere. Yet they deny his existence and pursue their own ends, and they are without excuse. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they knew about God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. People worshipped idols, but it got worse. Therefore, God gave them over to the desires of their hearts, to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged the natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in their bodies the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, and though they know that God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. They give approval to those who practice them. What you have here is a picture of a secular culture that has rejected God, that creates its own gods here and there. We talk about spirituality and indigenous religion. Nobody wants Christianity, but they'll worship a rock, I guess. But at the same time, you have this secular culture that breeds this denial of objective truth, of objective reality, and they encourage people to do the same, and the results are disastrous. And so you wind up with these conflicted, distraught, angry, confused, transgendered people who eventually lash out, whether they kill students in Nashville at a Christian school or students in Minnesota at a Catholic school. They become the hitmen for a progressive culture. And the progressive culture denies violence, but there's always a yes, but. But you can see how these hurting people might lash out. That's tacit approval of their atrocities. So what can you do? You have to live out your faith in a compelling way. You have to pray for those who persecute you. You have to love those who hate you. You have to be kind to those who are unkind to you. You have to try to reason with them in a respectful, decent, and kind way. These people need the gospel. And so you have to be willing to try to build relationships with these people, if you can, so that you can rescue them from this morass that they've dug themselves into, this hole they've dug for themselves, or this hole, this bottomless pit that the culture has dug for them. We have to grieve for their sin. And this is countercultural, but this is undeniably Christian. Well, that's it for now. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, share it with your friends. Sign on to whatever page your podcast platform is in, Spotify, Apple, whatever, and like us, give us a 5-star rating, make a comment, write a sentence about us. That moves us up in the algorithm and helps us reach out to more and more people and to perhaps be of some service to the culture and Christ's kingdom. If you have questions, you can email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com, keithcrosby@yahoo.com. Put podcast in the memo line, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. In the meantime, this is Keith Crosby signing off. May God bless you, and God keep you.